OB. Got a sprain or an itch. Pain that's swelling, twitch. Call up and ask me. Dr. Lasky. I call up and ask me. Dr. Lasky.
Welcome to another edition of Hey Doc. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host for the next half hour. With me today is my co-host and wife, Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining. For those of you who are avid listeners of the Hey Doc Show, and for those whose first time listening was last week, you know that we covered the topic of why people enjoy watching and listening to sports events. And although a 15-minute segment on a half-hour show is simply not enough to cover an expansive topic like that, we are again going to attempt to explain another of life's mysteries. And that is, why do we like music?
We as humans must have enjoyed music for a whole lot of years. It seems that musical instruments have been found dating back hundreds of centuries.
Some researchers have tried to find a music center in the brain. Several parts of the brain are used in processing and enjoying music, just like many other high-order processes do.
One study found that when focusing on harmony in a piece of music, a subject experiences increased activity in the right temporal lobe's auditory areas.
Several studies have shown that the temporal lobe is one region, it's a key region, in fact, for understanding certain musical features. But it works closely with areas in the frontal lobe that are responsible for forming meaningful musical structure.
Other studies have focused on our emotional responses to music. For a willing music audience, the art of drawing emotion from notes is classic.
Composers play with subtle, intricate changes and rates of change to try and elicit emotion. In recent studies, scientists found that people already familiar with the music are more likely to catch a chill at key moments.
For example, when a symphony turns from loud to quiet, or upon entry of a solo voice or instrument, or even when two singers have contrasting voices.
People covered in goosebumps also tend to be driven more by rewards and less inclined to be thrill and adventure seekers, according at least to research that was conducted at the Institute for Music Physiology and Musicians' Medicine in Hanover, Germany. One researcher suggested that chills depend very much on our ability to interpret the music.
Music is a recreative activity. Even if it is relaxing to listen to, the listener has to recreate its meaning, as well as the feelings it expresses. It is the listener who gives life to the emotions in music.
The researchers' latest findings are currently being reviewed for journal publication, while their previous research has actually been published in the Annals of the New York Academy of Sciences. Music can just do more than just give you goosebumps. A melody can actually ease labor pain, reduce the need for sedation during surgery, evoke strong memories, and even lessen depression.
Listening to your favorite hits can shift your breathing pattern, and it can also speed up your heart.
Shivers down the spine actually show up in brain scans, and as chills grow in intensity, blood flow increases between the areas of the brain that are associated with euphoria-inducing vices like food, sex, and drugs.
Blood flow in the brain also ebbs and flows. That is, it rises and falls to swells of music in areas associated with reward, emotion, and arousal.
As stimulation for food and sex are important for an organism's survival, the fact that similar neural activity is observed in responses to features in music suggests that there could be some evolutionary advantage to the ability to hear or, hum a good tune. By the way, speaking of evolution,
have you ever noticed that some people are just naturally graceful on the dance floor, while others seem burdened by what some call too left feet.
Well, you can blame it on the Ice Age. According to a new research, the ability to dance may have been a factor in survival for our prehistoric ancestors, who used their moves to bond and communicate with each other when times were just generally tough.
A study which was recently published suggests that as a result, today's creative dancers actually share two specific genes, and both genes are also associated with a predisposition for being good social communicators.
Many people are attracted to hot dancers, and a new study suggests part of the reason is because their bodies are more symmetrical than those of the, let's call them, less coordinated.
The researchers found that men judged to be better dancers tended to have a higher degree of body symmetry, a factor that has been linked to overall attractiveness and health.
Back in the early part of the 20th century, a Harvard mathematician named George David Birkhoff developed a mathematical formula which he believed could be used to gauge how beautiful and appealing a work of art was. Now, his formula relied on two general concepts, complexity and symmetry.
Kind of like on a seesaw, the more complex something is, the less symmetrical it needs to be considered appealing.
Also vice versa. The more symmetrical something is, then it needs to be less complex to be appealing. Now, this made sense to many people. The problem became, how do you test complexity and symmetry in art?
Birkhoff's ideas were forgotten for many years. However, in biology, recent studies have found that humans and other animals are highly attuned to symmetry in each other. Beauty is often gauged by beta symmetry.
And is often used to choose a mate, even if this is a subconscious choice. Apparently, sensitivity to symmetry is ingrained into our behavior. Have you seen Leonardo da Vinci's drawing called the Vitruvian Man that was painted around the year 1490?
It is an asymmetrical drawing of the human figure with one pose of the figure with the hands and legs spread apart and another superimposed with the hands to the sides and the legs together.
The man's proportions were laid out exactly like the architect Vitruvius. That's where it gets its name from, who is from ancient Rome. If you can't picture it, you can go to bit.ly/the Vitruvian Man, all in one word. Mario Livio, a senior astrophysicist at the Space Telescope Science Institute in Baltimore, wrote a book called The Equation That Couldn't Be Solved, where he explores symmetry in everything from biology and physics to music and the visual arts.
Livio asked if it is possible that we use tools to determine the laws of nature with symmetry in them because our brains are so fine-tuned to detect symmetry, and not because it just happens to be the most fundamental thing.
Our bodies and most animals exhibit mirror symmetry, which is also called bilateral symmetry. That is, symmetry from a plane running from head to toe. Why is this, since there are infinitely more ways to construct an asymmetrical body than a symmetrical one?
Yet fossilized evidence shows that bilateral symmetry had already taken hold in animals as early as 500 million years ago.
According to one hypothesis, a body that is bilaterally symmetrical is easier for the brain to recognize while in different orientations and positions. Thus, it makes it more visually perceptive. Another hypothesis, now don't laugh about this one, is that symmetry evolved to help with mate selection. Well, it's time for our mid-show break. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky with Carmen Lasky, and this is Hey Doc. This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I've been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 29 years. We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just two blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Pottsburg Post Office and the Tulsa Welding School. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains. Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411. Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care. Welcome back to the Hey Doc Show. Before the break, we were talking about some hypotheses about symmetry in nature, and I'm going to repeat the last sentence that I said just before the break. Another hypothesis is that symmetry evolved to help with mate selection.
Serious experiments with birds and insects revealed that females prefer to mate with males possessing the most symmetrical sexual ornaments.
Peahens, for example, prefer peacocks with more extravagant and symmetrical tails. And female barn swallows prefer males with long symmetrical tail feathers.
It appears that humans show similar patterns.
Now keep this one under your hat. Experiments have found that women are more attracted to men who have features that are more symmetrical than other men. One study even found that women have more orgasms during sex with men who are more symmetrical. Now why is this? Perhaps because there's a correlation between symmetry and health.
One study found that men with symmetric faces tend to suffer less depression, anxiety, headaches, and even stomach problems. Women with facial symmetry were less healthy and less prone to emotional instability and depression.
Another study found that the more symmetric a person's body was, the less likely they were to show signs of aggression when provoked.
There are many symmetries that can be found in physics.
There is, for example, a subatomic particle that you may have heard of called a positron.
This particle can actually be considered the mirror image of an electron.
Even forces such as electricity and magnetism are actually two complementary aspects of a more fundamental force called electromagnetism.
Let's get back to another real study. In this case, 183 Jamaican teenagers, ranging between 14 and 19 years old, they danced while their movements were captured using motion capture cameras, similar to those used in video games and movies to give computer-generated characters fluid movements.
Women watching the recordings preferred the dances of men who were more symmetrical, while men were more impressed by the dances of more symmetric females.
An interesting fact that was shown in this experiment was that women are pickier since the male preference for symmetric females was not as strong as that of the female preference for symmetric males.
But our bodies may be grossly symmetrical, but on deeper inspection we can see many asymmetries in humans.
The index finger on one hand might be longer than the other, for example, or the left foot may be slightly larger than the right. These are called fluctuating asymmetries, or FA.
So, fluctuating asymmetries could be an indicator of an individual's ability to cope with the stresses and the pressures associated with body development. In other words, as you're developing, all sorts of things come at you, like diseases and injuries. So if you're able to develop symmetry despite all of that, then that would indicate to others that you have what it takes to make a go of it in that environment.
We are always advertising ourselves in some way or another. The way we walk, smile, move, and talk. Let's call this body advertising.
So a high degree of body symmetry serves as a, well, let's call it a subtle advertisement of genetic quality and health. Or at least that's how some thinking goes.
While most people don't go around measuring and comparing body parts of potential mates, it's thought that we picked up on these cues subconsciously.
Scientists believe that this gave early humans who were well-coordinated and rhythmic a distinct evolutionary advantage. Well, this brings us back to dancing genes.
Dance, like music, is an activity dating to prehistoric times that is sometimes a sacred ritual, sometimes a form of communication, and sometimes an important social and courtship activity.
So, to test this, the DNA was obtained from 85 elite dancers and their parents to compare with a group of people lacking any distinguishing characteristics, as well as a group of athletes. The genes studied don't control a specific physical ability, but they dictate two very well-known social and behavioral chemicals in the body, serotonin and vasopressin.
As researchers suspected, both chemicals were found in much larger quantities among the dancers. In other words, while the elite dancers couldn't be put in a different physical category from everyone else, they all shared genes that made them more social.
Now, getting back to the Ice Age just for a moment, cooperation would have been essential for survival, and this would have been facilitated by the social bonds that developed through communal dancing and singing. There's actually a book titled The Singing Neanderthals: The Origins of Music, Language, Mind, and Body, and this was written by Steve Mithen. Now, this author contends that because of their communication powers, dance and music likely became a very important tool of social interaction as soon as humans could walk and talk.
It has been argued that the specific nature of human anatomy suggests that it involved for endurance running as much as walking. So, it could have also been used for dancing, as walking and running requires high degrees of muscle control, balance, and flexibility.
So do we really dance like a Neanderthal? Mithen focused on the Neanderthals who really, rather than the Homo sapiens, who are really our direct ancestors, because he believes the importance of dance was widespread and probably practiced by early humans as far back as 1.5 million years ago.
Even in ancient times, dancing was a means to show off one's physical fitness and coordination, qualities that would have been useful for survival in prehistoric hunter-gatherer societies.
At the beginning of each new year, I've tried to present my rendition of Auld Lang Syne. However, this year we just didn't have time for it until now. So the following is, and I hope you bear with me, my rendition of Auld Lang Syne.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of auld lang syne? For auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne. And here's my hand, my trusty friend, and give a hand, O thine. We'll take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne. For auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne. For auld lang syne, my joy, for auld lang syne, we'll tak a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne. And surely I'll be your pine stop, and surely I'll be mine, and we'll tak a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne. For auld lang syne, my joy, for Auld Lang Syne. We'll take a couple kindness yet for Auld Lang Syne. We twa I run around the braes and pood the gowans fa', but we've wandered money a weary foot sin Auld Lang Syne.
If you or any of your family members have been prescribed any medication that are being rejected or denied at the pharmacy, and you feel that the medication is both appropriate and medically necessary, then you need to make your voice known. Contact your state and federal representatives and tell them what's happening. It is only with this that we can right the wrongs that are being perpetrated on a large part of our citizenry and their human rights when they are denied appropriate and necessary treatment.
I'd like you, our listeners, to know that I am one of several physicians right here in the Jacksonville area that has received the certification to recommend medical marijuana to those patients with certain qualifying diagnoses. These now include amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, cancer, Crohn's disease, epilepsy, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, seizure disorders, chronic muscle spasms, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, PTSD, a terminal condition, as well as other ailments and conditions, including certain diseases with chronic or long-term pain. For more information, you can call our office at 641-4411. We've also set up a website for our Medical Marijuana Society at www.medmarsoc.com. That's www.medmarsoc.com. We have also set up a special website at CompassionateCareJax.com, where you can get a whole lot more information on medical marijuana. You can also set up an appointment for an office visit to Southside Medical Center right on the website. Again, that website is CompassionateCareJax.com. Well, we've come to the end of another Hey Doc show. Carmen and I hope that you've enjoyed the past half hour and have found it interesting, educational, and maybe just a little bit entertaining.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.